Hey everyone, welcome to the To Be Silent podcast. In this episode of the podcast, Brian and I talk about the congruency of thoughts, words, and deeds and its importance in spiritual practice as well as in daily life, the idea of chaotic forces and putting them under control. And we talk as well a little bit about some of the changes that we're making in our program as our membership and our presentation of that membership evolves over time and our own experience with that. So I hope you enjoy the show and let us know what you think. Enjoy. Yeah. All right. So I was thinking about To Be Silent and I was doing some deep contemplation and I feel like, okay, so there's a couple different things. One of them had to do with like the podcast.
Yep.
And the other had to do with like how, well, it's all just kind of all around like how we go about like selling the membership. And like, I was thinking about like I got Deadline Funnel, that program, that's kind of like, you know, whatever. It basically automates like deadlines for people so that we could do like that auto generated deadline thing through our sales process.
Yep.
And, when I thought about it, it was like, and like kind of just like went into that headspace around it. It was like, I don't know, like I just had like this sense of like, putting like it could have, and I don't know if this is like right or wrong or like how we want to do it or not, but like it, I have the sense that like it puts this kind of like, pressure on it, but like it utilizes scarcity, right? As I mean, that's the whole thing. If you don't get it now, it's going away. That's the idea, right? Yep. And so I feel like maybe in some ways that's like, I don't know, like I don't know if people are getting fatigue with that or not, or if it's,
I think they are,
or if it's like in some ways like part of the problem instead of part of the solution. And yeah. I kind of felt like, I was like thinking about this. I was like, you know, you can't manufacture trust, right? Like you can't manufacture it and you can't like speed it up either. Right. So like, and I think that when it comes to like all this spirituality stuff, like it's like there, people have been so mistreated in the past. And like, it's like, you know, it's like cultivating a relationship with somebody who's been like cheated on, you know, like, you know what I mean? Right.
Definitely. I know exactly what you mean.
So like, so I feel like that's going to be like, it's almost like if that's the first thing that we, the first way that we engage people, like it's almost like starting off on the wrong foot. You know, like,
yep. Anyway.
So, so I was thinking about like the podcast as an alternative to, as a sales mechanism, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
Alternative to trying to like make something happen like quickly, like trying to like put them through this like orchestrated sales process. Right. Yep. And I was like, you know what? Like, maybe we could record like a podcast, whether it's through Zoom or in person, like we could just try doing it like every other week. Like we do the live calls with the members where we answer questions about practices and stuff like that. And then right. On the other weeks, maybe like you and I just like get on Zoom or we're together physically and we just like record a conversation and like we don't necessarily have to have a plan or whatever. But
right.
But I think the core of it is like right now, like all people are hearing about is like why everything is going to hell in a handbasket. And I feel like if we just had conversations about like why everything is going to be okay and how we can like make it okay and how we can like use what we do to make it so, like, that's a message that like just being put out there has value, like just giving people the opportunity to listen to a conversation about like why we feel like we're going to be okay. We're not like worried about what's going to happen and totally sucked into like the fear mongering and like the negative, the constant stream of like negative, fearful messaging.
I think that's an excellent idea. I mean, you know, because it's like, and it ties into everything that we think, right? It's like, it's your responsibility if it goes to shit or if it doesn't. Like, you take responsibility for yourself. Like, I don't expect the government to save my ass. Right. I don't expect, you know, the safety net to be there. I don't expect it because, you know, for a lot of people, it's not there. And so you can't say, oh, it's a given. You know, if you go to, you lose everything, you're going to be okay. It's like, no, not necessarily. You know, if that was the case, there wouldn't be any homeless people. There wouldn't be any, you know, indigents, you know, there wouldn't be people living out of their cars, right? It's like, if the safety net worked for everybody, we wouldn't have that. So, you know, it's your responsibility to figure out what the fuck you're doing and how to do it, you know? And, and again, from the most minimal aspect, you know, I always think it's not a Pollyanna idea, right? I mean, it's sort of like embracing the suck and going after it, you know, and saying, okay, what can I do right now that will help me in some way? Even if it's just to boost my mental capacity up, you know, and make myself feel better, isn't everything I do from that point on going to be better rather than doing it from a depressive, fucked up state of mind, you know, thinking, oh, it's going to suck, but I should do this anyway. That's like that joyful effort, right? It's like, you know, you're dragging your ass to go say your prayers, but instead you should be like, this is really going to help me. Like, I don't have to, you know, watch TV. You know, if I have, watching TV is erasing my brain, right? It's the great brain eraser, right? It's like, okay, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? We all need a break where it's like, you can just wipe it out. You don't have to think about anything anymore. You think about what's in front of you, which is inane, you know, but it's just enough to sort of like let it go, right? It's the same thing that we, you know, I don't even count music in that category, right? Because music, it's, you know, you're in training to it. So if it's music that you love, you know, you're going to be up at that point. That's why, like, you know, people, you know, they put in their earplugs and go and put their music on and go do work that they normally wouldn't, you know, you wash the goddamn dishes while you're listening to the music you love. It makes it better, right? There's no doubt that we don't have to get all woo-woo with this stuff, right? It's like, you know, I mean, you can go as deep down the rabbit hole as you want, but the idea is it doesn't have to be. You could just say, like, here's the empirical knowledge. Your experience, if you do, let's just use dishes. If you do dishes and it's just a suck ass job, well, you know, it's going to be a suck ass job. If you do dishes while you're listening to your favorite music, somehow you lose track of time or you're dancing around or, you know, swishing your butt back and forth while you're doing the dishes. It's a little bit better. Even that little bit better is already, you know, you get done and you feel accomplishment, right? There's a drop of dopamine that you're getting from that when you finish. This is, you know, it's not rocket science, right? It's like, this is the reality of our situation. And it's the same thing with this stuff, but we go and we do it. It's a responsibility that we take on personally ourselves, right? It's like, I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to make my family okay, no matter what it takes. There's my first, you know, declaration, right? And then I do whatever small thing, including, all we're saying is that includes your spiritual work. And it should be, you know, for us, like, look, I've been in the shit many times, right? On a regular basis. And I know it doesn't look like it. I know it, you know, but that's, and I'll tell you why, because when everything was down and out, the only thing that I had that nobody could take away from me was this spiritual work. And I made it my priority because there was nothing else physically I could do. There was nothing else. You know, I'd gone to all the banks. I'd gone to all the debtors. I'd gone to all these people. You know, I was trying to figure out what other work could I do? What, you know, it's like, what else could you do physically? Done. You've done everything. You know, you're waiting on the whims of other people. You know, you're waiting on the whims of other organizations. It's like nobody wants to be in that scenario, right? Because we know it's like they don't always move in the direction you want them to. And so, you know, and a lot of times at that point, right, they're moving in, they're giving you a yes, but there's so many stipulations to that yes. You know, you're putting yourself even farther behind. Right.
Well, I mean, and that's exactly what I mean too. It's like, I feel like you and I both have that sense, and you obviously having way more experience have it even more. Like, I really believe that, like, you do feel like everything's going to be okay. Like for
yeah.
you.
And I, there's no doubt.
And I know that that is because, like you always say, like your consistent results from your practice, right? It's like, that's the one thing that, like, you're saying nobody can take away from you. No one can take away from, like, an inherent power that you have within yourself to create the future experience that you want. But at the same time, you're taking, like, you know, there's that attitude that you bring to it where it's like, that doesn't necessarily mean, like, it's going to be easy.
No, and that's the part that I, you know, we want to try to get across to people, right? It's like, it's not like it's, you know, like, oh, magic is so great because you just say these few words and you do some prayers and you do this and you do these rituals and you move around in a certain way. And then all of a sudden, poof, it's all good. It's like, I want to see that, you know, because that's not been my experience.
And that's like another one of those things. Like, I don't, like, right. So that's not been your experience. That's not been my experience. But I still see, like, ads on Instagram or Facebook or whatever that are like, you know, come manifest with me. I just raise my vibration and, like, everything's better and, like, everything's great. And I'm walking into, like, this perfect life of abundance and everything's awesome. And, like, come join me and do it with me. And it's easy and fun. You know, I'm like, always look at that. And I'm like, there's just such a disconnect because, like, I've never changed something about my life or about myself without encountering the aspect of me that needs to change for that thing to occur, for that change
to happen,
for that thing to manifest. And that means that means, like, being in the shit and, like, feeling uncomfortable and seeing, like, things that you don't want to necessarily, like, literally looking at things you don't want to look at too.
Like, absolutely.
You know,
right?
So it's like, so don't, like, stop telling people that you can do it without that. Like,
no, you can't. It's not possible. Even they would say it. So there's sort of talking on both sides of their mouth, right? It's like, you know, and that's that whole forked tongue thing, right? It's not about a snake. It's about saying two diametrically opposed things at the same time. So people are completely confused. They're still in the neutral, right? It's that idea of, like, look, you know, oh, you just put yourself in this place, blah, 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 blah. But they never say, like, oh, if you ask them directly, oh, but you have to change these other things about yourself because that's going to produce exactly the same scenario that you're in right now. They never talk about the, you know, the sacrifice, you know, the work that it entails, you know, and part of that work is, you know, going into the shit, right? And eradicating that as much as you can, or putting it, you know, binding it, you know, put it in your control. It's not about getting rid of it. It's not about getting rid of it. I've been saying that for decades. You know, it's not about getting rid of it. Why would you want to get rid of the thing that's the most, you know, the most impactful, the most, you know, powerful aspect of yourself. It's like, you know, being in a blissed out bubblehead state, you know, who would want to move from that? So if that's what you're trying to achieve.
So like you talk about this a lot, and like, I feel like it's one of those like abstract things that like, maybe we haven't like articulated clearly enough yet at this point. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's so abstract and difficult to like, so could you like, when you like, cause you talk about like chaotic forces, putting them under control. And I was contemplating this yesterday too, because like I was thinking a lot about myself and those aspects of me. Right. And like how my own like chaotic forces, like express themselves like in my world through my actions, and like, and how like maybe like I'll, let's say, okay. So like, let's say I do something and then I'm like, I wish I'd done that differently. And then like reflecting on that action, I'd like judge myself. And then like in the judgment, I'm also like, it's like another instance of like negativity, right? Or like right. a chaotic aspect, right? So, but both of those things, whether it's like a judgment or the ability to like assess like, you know, personal good from bad, or, you know, like right from wrong, or what things I like or want to be, things I don't.
Sure.
Like that's not an inherently negative faculty. And, you know, like, so, but all of those things culminate in like a perception of self, which has to do with like my character or like my identity, right? Like a personality, right? Like this person acts that like has these characteristics, whether they're like noble characteristics or generous or kind or, you know, like whatever, sure. Like those are almost like that, those qualities of a character are almost like a superstructure or an order within like the within which the energies of my personality and my persona can operate. Right. And so like, and kind of like figuring out all those things for myself, like the one thing that like the things that make that process of contemplation and like decision making and like self-reflection, like the thing that makes that process make any sense whatsoever are the principles that you've taught me that I come back to, right? Like, just this idea of like the congruency of thought, word, and deed. Like, it doesn't matter like necessarily what you do. It just matters that you're congruent with what you do. So you need to figure out how to be congruent. And that means like knowing like the game that you're playing, knowing like the rules that you're playing by, the rules that you've set for yourself, and like kind of figuring those things out. Right. So like, that's a really deep and like abstract example, you know, but I think it kind of touches on that idea in some ways of like what you're mentioning, like this idea of like chaotic forces or, you know, so maybe you could give like some examples of like what you mean by that, like what's an example of a chaotic force, and why is it something that we don't want to like eradicate, even though we hear about like in many like Eastern traditions, the idea would be to eradicate that force, to just be in this like peaceful, neutral state. Like, so like, could you think of something?
I mean, I guess, you know, it's two different ideologies, right? It's like, I mean, and I'm not saying either one is easier than the other, right? I mean, they're both, you know, like any tradition has its, I mean, if there was one tradition that was just like, oh, everything's good, you know, just follow this and you're going to be perfect. You know, it's like you'll have no hardship. You know, everybody, there would only be one tradition, because who would want to go to anything else, right? It's like, oh, just say these prayers or say these things and everything will be great. You know, and it's like you'll be, you know, eating ice cream every night and never gain an ounce. And somebody will be loving you up every day and it'll be fine. You know, it's like, great, you know, sign me up, dude. It's great. And it's free. Oh, you know, it's like, oh, everything perfect. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, it's a strange thing. So they all have their, you know, I mean, there are difficulties, right? I mean, so we, you know, in general, I tend to think of this place, you know, this reality, this life you know, as a series of tests, right? That, you know, we're trying to have as many experiences as possible. And they're not all good experiences. I mean, they're all experiences, but, you know, some are harder than others, right? We experience loss and we experience, you know, disappointment. And I think that's one of the reasons that some of the younger generations are having such a hard time is because, you know, adults, parents have gotten this screwed up idea in their head from experts, right? Psychologists, whatever, that, you know, think that, you know, every kid should get a trophy for showing up, you know, so you're not breaking their self-esteem, which is just, you know, insane. We know that now, but we've lost a couple generations due to that, and which is hard for them. You know, it's really hard for them. I feel really bad for them. They've never been able to, you know, get overcome the idea from being ingrained in them at such a young age that they should get a trophy for showing up. And that's the whole entitlement thing and all of that stuff, right? So it's very difficult to retrain them at this point to say, you know, life can be good if you, you know, if you engage it and you take on your personal responsibility and you try to contribute to it, right? And you try to have, you're going to have difficult experiences. Embrace them, you know, and use them as a catapult to, you know, either A, make sure you're, you know, if you identify it as something that you don't want, it's the impetus for moving into something else, right? It's a course correction. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I don't, you know, if I don't want to, you know, if I don't want to lose my job because I can't get up at the right time and get to work on time, I either have to, you know, correct that in myself. But if getting up at 10 o'clock is still, you know, like the thing that you want to do, then maybe the, you know, if that's more important than keeping your job, maybe you should look for a job that doesn't start until 10:30. You know, so it's like, if that's more important than keeping your job that you have, then you have to make that, you know, that you know, you have to make that decision, right? So it's like, it's just evaluating things and kind of going through those experiences and saying like, okay, is there an alternative to this? You know, can I have my cake and eat it too?
And the thing that like, and the thing that makes that territory of decision-making, a territory with which you can navigate well is like a certain degree of like clarity, right? Like you have to have like, absolutely, like mental clarity of mind, clarity of thought, a clear view of yourself and the situation, but also like a clear understanding of like these things we talk about all the time, principles that apply to the energetic, the physical, the spiritual, the mental, emotional, like this, like these principles that apply to everything that you can kind of like come back to and like see yourself, your situation through that lens. And that, and then, and it's like a structure within which those things that can be very amorphous actually make sense, whether it's like emotions or thoughts or like your own, like your thoughts about yourself, your own like identity, your perception of like the world, your actions in the world, right and wrong, all those things. Like that is such a complex and potentially muddy place to be, but that's like where we are. That's where like all right. human beings, we're in that. So it's like,
well, that's the whole idea, right? Is that we're in it all the time. We're in it from the day that we're born all the way, you know, until, well, you know, let's say to some extent, you know, that might be a little hyperbole, you know, as far as that goes, because, you know, we're completely dependent on our parents for, you know, several years, right? Until we can start to, until we start to independently act in the environment, right? And right. then we have choices. And so if the parents have done a good job, it doesn't mean that we're going to be completely safe, but it definitely means that we're going to have the ability to think for ourselves, at least in the, you know, the environment that we're introduced into at a certain given time, right? So like if we're introduced to with other kids or, you know, other adults, you know, anything like that, other human beings or even animals, right? It's like, how do you act? And what do? If you grab the cat and the cat scratches you, you know, hopefully you don't do that again.
Right.
And hopefully it doesn't go too far where you're completely paranoid of cats for the rest of your life. You know, right. It's like, so, you know, there's the extremes and the continuum there. So,
and that's what I mean too, right? It's kind of like, because like, it's almost like the thing that makes you so confident that everything's going to be okay for you is like one of those things, let's say, is your grasp of the principle of the congruence of thoughts, words, and deeds, right? Like, because you know that, like, if you're congruent in your actions, like, in your thoughts, words, and deeds are in alignment, like, the thing that you are aiming at through your thoughts, words, and deeds is inevitable. So, like, you don't have to, like, you're not, like, you don't question that because you have too much experience that says that that's the case. So, like,
right.
So that's why, like, let's say that's why during these times, like, you're not going to experience as much fear. You're not going to be as afraid because, like, you know that, like, if you can get that right, then you'll be okay.
Yeah. And, you know, and it doesn't always mean that thoughts, words, and deeds congruent means that you're going to have a good experience, right? I mean, not awful, but not good either, right? Like, I'll give you just an example of that. So yeah. It's like a really good friend of mine, you know, probably one of my best friends. you know, he's very up on, you know, his family, you know, is in finance and he's in finance and it, but he's always been, because of that industry, he's always been very up on political things. And he, you know, let's say he moves left of center, right? And so he's not extreme, but he's definitely more liberal than, let's say, conservative, which is weird for a finance guy, right? So, but, you know, but he's such a good person, you know, and not naive and very intellectual, you know. It's like, I mean, just, you know, I use him as an advisor all the time. And so let me just give you an example of how it doesn't always, you know, it's not like by thought, words, and deeds being congruent that things just inevitably are smooth and easy, right? It's like, so, you know, I sort of use him to bounce political ideas off because I'm not a political person, really. I mean, I have my own views, but I haven't, it's not been a thing in my life. It wasn't with my parents. You know, it wasn't, you know, with people that I trained with or, you know, kind of grew up with, like in my 20s and early 30s and all of that. So, I had, you know, I was looking at this one scenario and, and I had it down where it was like my thoughts and words and deeds were congruent with what I thought to be true and correct. Excuse me. So when I engaged him in that and said, hey, you know, let's talk about this thing because I'm not really sure, you know, how things are going, but here's what I think. And this is what, the, you know, the information that I got. And he sort of dismantled my, what I thought was correct. Right. And so that wasn't, I mean, you know, it wasn't pleasant for me because nobody wants to be proven wrong. But at the same time, it wasn't like devastating to me where he was like ready to, you know, you know, go to fists over it, you know, cause I mean, that's not the way that we work with each other. And so, but then I went back and he challenged me to go and, you know, look at this and look at this and look at this article, read this thing, you know, and see where, you know, your, the information that you've gotten is incorrect, you know, or skewed. And so I did, and finally went and, you know, and found that to be true. Right. And it's not always that way. I'm not saying that it's like, it's always been that way. And so, cause we go back and forth with this, but so even though, you know, my thoughts, words, and deeds were congruent with the idea that I was holding, it's not like, you know, it was the, you know, absolute correct understanding of what was going on, right? Even though my thoughts, words, and deeds. And so there was that little bit of, let's just say, like a slap on the nose and saying, like, you're not thinking about this correctly, and here's how we can correct it. But if I feel like I would have, you know, when your thoughts, words, and deeds aren't in alignment, that gets, you know, your ideas get so skewed that you're not able to actually bring a concrete idea to the table where people can correct you or where you can correct them, right? And so even though the situation was kind of like, let's say on a minor level, you know, not pleasant, because nobody wants to be proven wrong or saying, you know, you're not thinking in the right way. My general axiom has to be, you know, was concrete, right? Which is, I want the truth more than I want to be right. And so I hold to that all the time. So by being able to bring a concrete idea to the table, he could see clearly what I was saying and what I was thinking and saying, nope, you're missing a few points. Let's steer you a little bit this way, give you some other things to look at, and then combine it, and then come back to me and see. And it pushed me into my general axiom of, I want the truth more than I want to be right. So it's like that corrected me, and then my thoughts, words, and deeds were congruent in a slightly augmented way than they were the first time. And now I feel like that was a good experience for me, right? I wanted to go into, you know, I have that connection with him that, you know, it's safe in that we're not going to go to a slugfest. It's safe in that, you know, nobody's belittling anybody else. It's safe in that, you know, all the most extreme, we're never going to talk to each other again, right? It's safe in that aspect, but it's not safe in that there's no pain of, you know, it's minor pain, right? But it's not like it's completely devoid of any kind of like, oh, you're okay, I'm okay, blah, blah, blah. No, there's only one truth, right? And so, you know, you can't be on both sides of that. You know, you can't, both things can't be right. You want to know what is correct and what's incorrect. And, you know, and going through that, it's just like grabbing the cat and having it scratch you. Okay, it's not going to kill you, you know, but it's not going to be pleasant, but you learn not to grab the damn cat that way. And it's the same thing with all of these things. And I think that a lot of times people are looking for, you know, thinking thoughts, words, and deeds will give you a worry-free, pain-free, discomfort-free, you know, zone. And that's not the case, right? Yeah. It's not the case, right? It's like, but the idea is that you can present a very clear idea that's not ambiguous, and then people with an opposing idea can come at you and say, I think you're missing the mark here or there or whatever. But, you know, when you do that enough, the funny thing is, it's like it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It's like you're course correcting yourself by presenting very clear ideas of what you think, and you're letting other people influence, or, you know, like maybe he's wrong sometimes. And we've come to that at certain times. And I'm like, what about this? And he's like, oh, I never really thought about that. You know, okay, let's look at it. You know, we're both in that way, right?
Right. And let's say, like, in your example here with your friend talking about politics, like if you compare that to, let's say, you know, I want to make $1 million and the world is my friend instead of, you know, like your example, right? It's kind of like if I try to put myself together and congruently act and think and, you know, and speak in the pursuit of that goal of making $1 million or whatever, then it's like, then I get to have a conversation with the world. Right. It's kind of like, right. Then I, at least I know that even if I'm wrong, I'm congruent within myself. And so when the world tells me that I'm wrong about some way that I'm pursuing that $1 million, then I have then I can actually like correct my actions or my thoughts, my understanding of that, or the way that I'm communicating or speaking about it. And so, but if I'm not, if I haven't done that, and if I'm not in alignment, then when the world tells me that I'm wrong, I'm completely shit out of luck because I have no way of assessing like what it is, you know,
right,
where I am, where, you know, and where I'm going wrong in the pursuit of that goal. So
exactly,
right, makes sense. So it's.
I mean, the environment becomes our mirror, right? Whether it's a person or, you know, like think about it. It's like You're dressing for some occasion, whatever it is. You put on some clothes, but you don't know, and you don't have anybody there to tell you, right? And, you know, so what do we normally do? We look in the mirror, right? To see, like, how do I look? Am I okay? Is, you know, is there stuff on my shirt? Is there, you know, is the tie tied right? Am I, you know, is it, do I look like a goofball? For, you know, it's like, I'm not going to a 4th of July picnic in a three-piece suit, usually, right? I mean, that would be kind of ass backwards as far as I'm concerned, but, you know, but I'm also not going to, you know, a wake or a funeral, you know, in a pair of shorts and a dirty t-shirt, right? It's like, that's just disrespectful for the people, because you're going for somebody else, not for yourself, right? So, and so, you know, but if you don't know, the only thing we can do is check the mirror, right? So, and the mirror could be a physical mirror to just look at our personal, see how we are, right? And, you know, and of course being, you know, trying to be as objective as we can, right? It's like, do I look okay? Because some people would be like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, it's like, there are some people that are like that. You know, I can wear a pair of shorts to a funeral. It's okay. And it's like, okay, well, you know, if you're good with that, you're good with that. You know, it's like, there are some people that would be perfectly okay with that. And that's all right. You know, but then, you know, the mirror that is the audience in the funeral may engage with you in a different way than you normally would. And if you're confused about why that is, then there's something wrong with your evaluation, right? Initially, at least that's the way we would take it, right? And to correct ourselves, to make our thoughts, words, and deeds more congruent. Again, everything can, you know, it's either going to support you, your environment, your mirror is going to support and let you move forward in the way that you want to, or it's going to put up barriers. And, you know, sometimes they're, you know, more, you know, they're active barriers, right, that are going to hold you from moving forward, right? You might be able to move sideways, or, you know, most times you're even probably going to move backwards, which is not the object, right? So it's like all of these things are going to give you the ability to course correct. And so as long as you're, again, holding your goal in the, you know, it's like, it's, you can go as deep with any of these analogies as you want, right? It's like, there's all different levels of course correction, you know, within, you know, your pursuits. But again, the other thing that gets confusing is people who constantly, you know, that don't create initially, you know, solid goals, right? Like, you want to make $1 million. That's a solid goal, right? It's like, that's my goal. That's my, you know, if I hit that achievement, I will think that I've, you know, that I've hit my goal, right? It's like, you get trapped in all these little sub goals all around, or you just keep changing your mind, which means you're just going to stay in the same place, or you're going to move down. There's no way to move forward if you can't identify a goal. And the reason that most people don't identify a goal clearly, first of all, nobody's told them, you know, other than just cursory, you know, like, oh, you should have a goal. But they don't really explain why it's so important. But the other reason is they don't want to set up the idea. They don't want to set up parameters for failure, because right. Failure seems like such a bad thing.
Right. Right.
It's like, you know, that's the same thing as my friend going, you know, I don't think you're thinking about this correctly. Here's some other information that maybe you'll have to reevaluate your idea in order to, you know, come up with the truth.
Right.
And that's important. So, but if I didn't have that goal and I didn't hit that goal of that alignment and right. present it to him, I would have never gotten that feedback back. I would have gone through the rest of my life thinking that I had that idea correct, that it was the truth. And it's so dangerous, right? So it's the experiences of this that we want to acquire over time, right? Everything is an experience. Everything is an experience. The good and the bad and the neutral, these are, and that's the real goal for us in this life. Have as many experiences as possible And we, because we're humans, we want to achieve more experiences in the things that we think are pleasant for us and good for us, what we've labeled good and pleasant, and move farther away from those experiences that are not. And they're, you know, painful or, you know, in some way, mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, we don't do that. We don't keep smashing our finger with a hammer, right? It's like, we learn. It's like, move your damn hand, you know, it's like, or do it differently. How many fingers do you have to lose? You know, it's like, so those things we get because they're immediate feedback, right? And well, it can be immediate feedback from, you know, verbal expression as well, or even, you know, thinking is a little bit harder because, you know, we don't see your thoughts, you know, but we see the actions that you're taking, and the actions that you're taking represent more clearly how you really think about a thing than not, right? So it's like, it's not about what you say. Show me what you do. And what you do is going to really show me what you think about something, you know? So,
So let's say, like, cause I want to bring it back to the chaotic forces thing too.
Mm-hmm.
So like, could we say that in the example of someone intending to make $1 million, right? Like that they're like that, the air quotes, like the chaotic force, right? In that example is like something that in its most extreme negative expression would just be labeled like greed, right?
Sure.
Like the pure unfiltered desire for money or capital or the power that that money gives or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So like, that's like all that is just like an impulse. That's all that is just like, it's like a, it's not necessarily like a carefully thought out plan or a vision or intention for your life necessarily. It its most base form or its most like purely chaotic form, all it is just like the desire for
more,
right?
Yep.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying when you talk about like chaotic forces and putting them under control is not necessary and not eradicating them is like, well, you don't need to get rid of your desire for money. You don't need to get rid of your desire for more, right? It's like, but the way that you put that chaotic force under control is you say like, you define a clear goal. I want to make $1 million. And then if I want to put it under even more control, I would say, here's why I want to make $1 million. And I can be, and I can figure out why and be super clear about that within myself. And I could, and if I want to take it even a step further, I could say, I want to make $1 million and I want to achieve that goal in a way that I feel morally and ethically positive about. And I want to feel like a good person doing it. I want to feel like I've contributed to others and to society in a positive way that I feel is a positive way. And I want that to work out in the long term for my friends and my family and myself and my life in a positive and sustainable way. And yep. So like, that's an example of taking a chaotic force and putting it under control.
For you.
Right. Okay. I see. Yeah. Right. Right. But that, so talk more about that, right? Because like what you're saying by saying for you is like, that there's no objective rules that apply to what that means for each individual person. There's no supreme judge of what that looks like, that process looks like.
Yeah. Because if there was, there would only be one model.
Right. One ultimate goal for every person to become or fit into or to emulate.
Right. Do you think that everybody that, you know, that made $1 million is upright and noble?
Probably not.
Probably not. I'm just going to guess.
Yeah,
we're going to guess and say probably not. You know,
okay, right.
I mean, there's plenty of slumlords and whatever that have made $1 million or more on the misery of other people and cheating them, right?
Right, okay. right. Yeah.
But, and so, you know, if there was some universal rule, don't you think that that person would expire very quickly after that.
You mean they would come to their own end, or they would die, or they would
something fall. Bad would happen to them because they've broken the cardinal rule of, you know, like being noble and being, you know, helping people out and doing this and doing, you know, what mm-hmm. all of those things that you just elucidated for yourself, right? If right. that was the only model and you thought that that was it, you know, then, you know, by that logic, there would be some ramifications of not doing it that way.
Right. And there is.
And there's not. Because there are plenty of people that survive very well and do all of those things in a pretty bad way and take advantage of people and still are okay, right? They're not, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are people that live long and ugly lives doing that, and probably long and nice lives doing that.
And that's, you know? And that's one of those things, right, that we see, like, that's one of those spiritual or, like, religious disconnects that I think we all see and we all sense, like, intuitively, right? It's like one of those age-old examples of, like, well, you know, if such and such is true, if I believe the things in, like, the book of my faith and blah, 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 then, like, why do like rich people who are also scumbags and screw people over, why do some of them seem to be okay? Or, like, why, you know, like, right, like, there's a lot of those examples of, like, people who would be more perceived as morally reprehensible to somebody that is rooted in a particular faith, and yet they don't seem to have, that person who they perceive as morally reprehensible does not seem to be receiving any negative blowback from the behavior that they deem as unacceptable.
And why would you say that that is? Let's just assume that that's the case. Why would you think that they come through that unscathed as much as anybody can be unscathed, even the noble ones, right?
Right.
Why would the scumbags, you know, come through unscathed as well?
Because they're congruent.
It all comes back to that. They're congruent. And I mean really congruent. They right, don't right.
Not like there's no, congruent.
Yeah. As soon as that congruency is, you know, disconnected in some way, that's when you get smushed.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's the only thing. I mean, that's, we come back to that over and over again. It's like, look, you know, don't, if you want to go through this life and have these experiences with the least amount of retribution, you know, which is self-induced, right? There's nothing up above that's telling you, like, boom, 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 right? Gonna smush you for doing that. It's like, literally, the only thing is that, you know, be congruent. It doesn't mean that you won't have, you know, hardships or any of those things, but if you stay congruent with what you're doing, you're probably going to achieve the goals that you've set up for yourself, you know? So, but, you know, if any incongruency happens there, then, you know, it will come back to smash you, basically. So, you know, depending on how big of incongruency it is, right, seems to be the only, you know, the only sort of retribution, right? So, I mean, as much as we can see, I mean, you know, you'd have to, you know, that's a study that we can look at from the outside, just sort of like looking at it more from our own experiences than from anybody else's. But, you know, it seems to happen that way, and it seems to be consistent with everybody, right? I mean, be hard pressed to sort of do a study on all of those things specifically, you know, to see, because who's going to sign up for that? You know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, I fucked all these people over and, you know, but I'm good with it. So it's like, I've had plenty of people come to me asking me to help them, you know, manipulate things, let's say, in a negative way for others. And it's like, and I'm, you know, I'm constantly telling them, like, look, you know, it's like, you probably should, no, I'm really good with this. It's like, I don't think you are, because that's not the type of person that you've been representing to me. You know, it's like, you're not going to be good with this. There's something, if you're already saying, I know this is kind of dodgy, but, you know, I want you to do this, I'm like, No. Not because I can't do it, because, you know, A, first of all, I don't like that. I'm not going to do it because it's not congruent with who I am. But the second part is, I know it's not, you're not congruent with it either. And, you know, and I like you enough to not do that so that you're not going to get smashed by it. And so, you know, and I mean, I've ended associations with those types of things, you know, because I wasn't willing to be, you know, the mechanism behind, you know, that inevitability, because I knew that there's no way in hell that they were congruent with that. You know, they just weren't. So, you know, why would I speed them along their path in that negative, you know, sort of trajectory?
Right. And that's like, and that's so like when we talk about like energetic spiritual practices, you know, changing your environment, changing yourself, changing your life, being like work, like a lot of that work is like becoming congruent with whatever it is that you want. And also having that like definiteness of purpose of like the goals that you want to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
Bathroom break.
Bathroom and eye drops. Great. I like the other idea too. I mean, I like your contemplation where that's going.
Yeah, I just like
you know, I think we both thought that for a long time, but we're trying to, you know, here's the course correction. You know, we're trying to do all the things that the experts say that you should do if you want to achieve this sort of level or whatever. And it's like, okay, you know, and we did it, you know, it's like, good. All right. But now we're not congruent with it. So, you know, it's like, it doesn't fit the people that we're trying to appeal to.
Right. Right.
You know.
Do you want to talk about that at all in this podcast?
We can.
Sure. I mean, that's how I started it when I hit record. So, I mean, I could keep that part or yep, trash it, or we can just like use that. We could even like just use that as a segue to talk about like, cause what I want to do is just put like on the website, you know, I want to put like basically like a link that's like a join program link or whatever to, and have that up there, you know, like all the time, and then just like have these conversations and talk about the programs that we're doing and talk about what's going on, in, you know, whatever now in the world, in our lives, yeah, kind of have these periods of like contemplation that, you know, so that, you know, people can get to know us. And then when they're ready to take the leap to actually try one of the programs or to be a part of the membership and, do the seeing program, dreaming, contact, whatever, like they can get involved whenever they want and start to, you know, actually participate in like the live calls that we do with the members, where you're talking about like specific answers to questions about the practices and, right, and all that. But, you know, yeah.
I think that's smart. I think the podcast should be almost like it's a better, more comfortable sort of, we can just let it, you know, organically evolve into whatever, you know, whatever we're talking about at the time. Could be current events, could be anything, right? And then exactly, how do we talk about it from the standpoint of, you know, our spiritual practice or whatever it is. And then, you know, people get to understand it. And because, you know, most of our thing, you know, if I had to say what's the difference between our stuff and everybody else's, is because we want it to be not just current, but, you know, because I think there's a huge push with a lot of this stuff is to go back to old, you know, it's like we can't, you know, yeah, you've got to take the old information and adapt it for what's now.
Yeah.
And show that it's still relevant, right? You know,
yeah,
technology has changed, but people haven't changed.
So to wrap up today's conversation, just to kind of put a little bow on everything, it's kind of like the work then that we were talking about in the beginning, is, you know, kind of putting yourself together and becoming congruent. Like a lot of, let's say not, obviously not all of the work, because there's just like the downright practices of whether it's meditation or, you know, or some type of physical practice of Qigong, or the rituals that you learn, or the analysis that you, you know, the analysis process that you go through to understand the practices that you're doing or the rituals that you're doing or whatever. Like there's all those things are work too. But like one of the elements of work that we're talking about is like, you know, becoming congruent within yourself with like the specifying the goals that you want to achieve, and then like how you're going to go about that, how all of that works, and how to put yourself into a state where the thing that you want to happen, you expect to happen. Like in, it, for instance, like in the example of experiencing contact with other, with spirit, right? It's like one of the ways that you become congruent with that is like, you know, specifying like what kind of contact do you want to have, right? and how that's going to work, and how that's going, and not just like, you know, how do you want it to be? Not just like, do you want it to be a voice in your head? Do you want to see something in front of you? Do you want to just, you know, like have a conversation? What do you want to have a conversation about? Like what, you know, like all, and you know, I mean, there's just so many layers to that. And I think that, you know, that's obviously our goal.
And that it doesn't have to be figured out all at once, right? It's like you become congruent with it. The more of those parameters come up, it will, you know, it's a course correction, right? And that, you know, and it's not all mental work, right? It's like you're, and it's not all adding things. Sometimes it's detracting things, right? It's taking things away. So it's like, once you, you know, have an idea squared away in your head, you can let go of all the other stuff that's sort of splintering you from that, right? Mm-hmm. So that you know that it's, you know, you have less in your head all the time that's conflicting.
Right.
You can let that go, right? And so the same thing with your words, right? It's maybe not just what you say. It's also the things you don't say. And it's also the things you don't do verbally. Like you don't, you know, it's not, you know, like, what's a general one? Like, no rumor mongering, you know, it's like, no, you know, talking shit about people, you know, behind their backs, all of that stuff. It's like, you stop doing that less and less each day. Right. And if you can't just completely stop, right. Less and less each day. And, you know, and you only say decent things, or, you know, you have good reasons to, you know, it's in line with the way that you think, right? And the physical stuff, maybe it's not just don't eat ice cream every day, you know, do some physical damn exercise, right? Cause that's going to be, you know, it's going to make you move through your day in a different way, right? It's like, Qigong or yoga or something that's energetic and physical, right? So that it's like you can withstand the impact of all these things you're going to do. It's like you could have the best idea in the world, but you don't have the stamina to go through, you know, with it.
Right. And I
it's
think
like physically, you just can't physically do it. So you need to build up to that. And that's part of being congruent as well, right? That's the not just doing good acts. I mean, that's very naive, right? It's like be able to withstand doing good acts. You know, it's like, yeah, you go to sue, you know, it's just, there's so many little layers of that that we could give as an example. And, you know, it's like all of that, you know, starts to build the person that you want to become.
Right. And that's, I think, like why it's so, sometimes it's, you know, it's hard to discuss these things like it to, but to in a consolidated way, because like there is like so much to say about each piece. Right. And so like, I really feel like that's what we are trying to do with the programs. For instance, like if it's contact, right, with spirit that you want to have like face to face or otherwise, it's like all of these same rules apply. And so how do you like present like, so what we're doing, right, is like we present each aspect of that process like as a practice, and then also like there's the theory and then there's the practice, then there's the theory, then there's the practice, then there's the theory, and then there's the practice. So that because it is, it's not just like, oh, like, I mean, that's what everybody else is doing, right, that we see is like learn the formula, learn the ritual, learn the magic words, and then the thing is going to happen, right? And so because it's not that simple, it's like, because that's the thing, right? I was thinking about this for our program, for Contact. It's like, why not in the very first module do we not just give the exact format of the devotional ritual that we're going to do with people, like right from the beginning, and just say like, okay, here's the thing. You're going to tailor this. You're going to take this ritual. You're going to tailor it to yourself and to the thing that you want to contact. And then that's just what we're going to do. And then everything else is just, you know, some of the details. It's like, because it's like, that's what everybody else says. It's like, here's the thing. And, you know,
so they're missing the most, they're missing the most important part, which is, you know, you've got the practice, which is the salt, right? You've got the theory that's the, you know, sulfur, right? If you want to make it into a, you know, alchemical formula. But the thing that most people aren't doing is the mercury, you know, which is, you know, not just the words that we speak that interact between the two, right? The mercury is your experience in doing the practices, which brings you to understanding. It's better understanding of the theory in your head, right? When you, there are a lot of decent theories, but when you go to apply them, they don't work out, right? And so, you know, it's like you have to do them in order to see. History is fraught with things that, you know, I mean, we make a meme kind of funny thing out of it, right? It sounded good at the time. Right? It's like, you know, famous last words, right? Hold my beer, right? It sounded good. I thought it was a great idea at the time, right? It's and then, you know, things got, you know, calamitous, right? And so, you know, it's the experience part that people are missing out on, which is the part that I'm driving home so vehemently all the time. It's like, do it badly. Get some understanding of the theory of what you're supposed to do, map it out, and then do it. And then from your experience, you're feeding that back in and course correcting. Oh, I couldn't get past the first stage. How come? Well, you were breathing wrong, or you were doing this wrong, or, you know, work more on this to get that level up so that you can, you know, then progress with this. And then your experience will be different. You feed that back in. It's the feedback loop. Where do things actually circulate? It's in that mercurial part, right? Mercury is movement, and that's that mercurial between the thought process and the physical doing of it, right? And it's like, this is why YouTube is so phenomenally successful, right? Because it keeps everybody here.
In the thought process.
You're living vicariously through other people's actions.
Right.
And nobody ever, such a small percentage of people actually say, wow, I think I can do that. You know, let me try it. And then they find out, like, I've done that myself, right? Like, just learning how to do things. I mean, you know, and it was my kids that actually, you know, challenged me on that. Like, you know, literally, I mean, okay, I'm not a super mechanical person. Okay. And, you know, anybody that's been with me for any length of time knows that. I say it constantly, you know. And so any little thing that I do that most guys would go like, I mean, my brothers are like, dude, you know, what's the big deal? You know, it's like, and I'm jumping up and down thinking, I can't believe I just did this. I just fixed this thing. You're never going to believe I just fixed this thing. And my brothers are like, yeah. So, I mean, because they're both, you know, one's like, you know, excellent carpenter and, you know, and the other one is really good with mechanics and IT stuff and all this other shit. I'm like, I'm the oldest. And so they're constantly helping me out with things, right? And so, but anytime I do things on my own, you know, they're like, yeah, so, you know, you did that. Yeah. Good. Well, awesome. You know, I mean, they're not knocking me down, but it's sort of like for them, that's like something they do in the morning and get up. It would take me half a day to do it after I've effed it up so many times and then just got, you know, so clear on what it was that I was doing. Going back, you know, it's like, look, my local hardware store, they know me by name. Okay. And when I walk through the door, they usually say, either A, what does she have you doing today? Meaning my wife, right? or what did you mess up? What can we help you with? You know, it's like, what can we, they know me, you know, yeah. It's like, and that's good. You know, you need to know where you stand, but I'm constantly, it's in the experience part that, you know, you get things to the level of where you want it to be, you know? And so, and that's the part that most people just don't do anymore. They think if they have it in, I mean, there are plenty of occultists, there are plenty of esotericists, spiritualists that, you know, they have it in their mind. They can quote chapter and verse of all these books and whatever, but it's like they have no practical experience. So their lives suck by their own standards, not by mine. I don't give a shit, you know, but it's like by their own standards, they're constantly chasing things they want their life to be like, but they never do any of the practices or follow through with those experiential parts, right? It's all like in their heads. And they think as long as they keep it in their heads, and it's another one of those, you know, ideas that gets perpetuated, you know, that like, if you just have it clear in your mind, no, it's not just if you have it clear in your mind. If you have it clear in your mind, you're able to actually do the practices or put those things into practice. Once you do, and you are presented with a certain result, good or bad, then you course correct to get you where you want to be. If you have a goal, right? It's like, I want to get here. I have the general theory. I do the basic practices. I have an experience that goes back into the understanding. I can correct from that. And back to the physical practice, I can correct from that. And slowly but surely, I'm moving closer to my goal.
Yes.
That's the idea. That's thoughts, words, and deeds congruent. It's that, you know, it's that middle part, that mercurial part that is the key for all of this. It's like you have to have your own experience. Why I'm so reticent to just give my experiences out, not because, you know, I'm holding them close to my vest, not because I don't want to give people my experiences. It's just because I don't want you to try to mirror my experiences. Your own experiences, they'll be within the certain context, certain parameters of the experience in general, right? But they're going to be unique to you. And I don't want people to try to copy my experiences, because it may be something that you can't copy because you're not my fingerprint.
Right.
Our experiences are completely different, you know? And so, you know, I'm giving you the principles to do these things so that you can have your own experiences, which are going to be better than anybody else's because they're yours. And it'll get you closer to your goals, whatever they are. That's the key.
Right. Cool. Well, I think that's an awesome way to end our conversation today, because, you know, it's one of those things that you say on a regular basis, but I really appreciate, because it's very inspirational and it always makes me feel like, yeah, I want to go do. So I hope everybody else feels that way too. So to wrap up our conversation, like, just to say, like, in the beginning, you know, I'm pretty sure I have included it, and I want to include it, just this, the whole thing that I was contemplating in the beginning about like keeping our membership open instead of like trying to impose a deadline on people. And so basically our membership program is open. You can join anytime you want, whenever you feel like it's the time for you to engage the practices that we teach and the support mechanism of our question and answer sessions to help you along the way as you implement the practices in lucid dreaming, seeing energy, and making your own direct contact with spirit. And so I hope you enjoyed the conversation today, one of our first podcasts, not our first, but one of our first. And so, we hope to see you guys in the program. Anything else you want to add before we sign off?
You know, for this, not necessarily. I mean, I just, you know, I want people to understand that it's, you know, it doesn't, you know, just because it's a method of spirituality, you know, it doesn't mean that all the goals have to be spiritual goals, right? It's like, right. It can be just your physical environment you want to change. It can right. be your relationships. It can be, you know, your success. It can be your health. It can be anything in physical reality. It doesn't just have to be this, you know, sort of highfalutin, you know, spirituality, you know, where you're floating in the clouds or whatever the hell it is, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, it doesn't have to be just that. It's like, I always have felt that, you know, and it's not my original idea. I got this from my teachers as well, you know, right from the beginning once, you know, it's like, look, you know, it should help you in everyday life, because if it doesn't, you know, what are you waiting for? You know, it doesn't, it's not, you know, then you belong to one of those traditions where you suffer your whole life away and you get your reward at the end after you die. And there's nobody that's ever come back to say that's the case. Right. So, you know, for me, it's like, it needs to support you in your everyday life. You need to have something that's, you know, practical for that. And it's like, there's no incongruency with that. Right. It's like, you need good health. You need to be successful in a way that you feel comfortable and safe and secure. And you need to have, relationships are part of that as well. Right. We're herd critters, right? It's like, we need other people to certain plus or minus effect, right? Some of us need crowds, you know, if you're extrovert. Some of us, we're good with being alone, but we need that intimate relationship as well. So, you know, it's like, but those are all things that make our lives more rich, and it's all about gaining more experience in life. And so it's just my presupposition is that out of all of those things, your spiritual practice will, you know, advocate for you in those other territories better than any of those territories will advocate for you for anything else, right? Yeah. So it's like, that's the thing. So that's why, you know, I promote this so strongly.
Yeah. I just want to add to that and say, like, of all the things that, you know, all the practices that I've done for, whether it's seeing or dreaming or contact or whatever over the years, like, I have had some degree of success with all of those things, not to the level that I want to yet, but the way that the principles and the practices have affected me as a person and in my life has far outweighed any of that stuff anyway. It's like the benefits that I've gotten from all of that, like there's no way for me to estimate what that would be. Like, there's literally no way for me to encapsulate that, because it's so vast and becomes more all-encompassing every day. It's like, how do you say, like, oh, like, you know, that this thing changed my life? It's like, oh, well, it took me apart and put me back together in so many ways that I'm not the person that I started out as.
Right.
And I'm
right.
really happy about that.
And it's a constant process, right? It never ends.
Yeah.
That's the other part, is that it just never ends. And how many things can you say that about? You know, it's like, you know, how many things that you have in your life that, you know, no matter how good you are at it, it's just, there's always other challenges. There's always more things to come up that you can engage and, you know, make yourself even better all the time. There's, you know, there's very few things that, like, you know, as you age or as you, you know, whatever, that don't change, you know, or, you know, that those challenges start to dwindle, or, you know, or that you can't, you know, make it to the top of that hill anymore. And this is not one of those. I mean, you can continue to go and get better at it and get deeper in it your whole existence, your whole life. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that that's another one of those unique aspects of it. And I think that that's a good thing, you know, so.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, man. And thanks for all the people that listened to this conversation and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And we'll see you later.